from Northern California. It's the Penpals.buzz Prison Pen Pal Podcast. Hear real stories from real inmates who want to write to you. Now, here's your host, Big Steve.
It's going to be a great episode today, everybody. I'm excited. We have Anthony Cloud calling in from the Washington Correctional Center. He was on the show back in 2024. It was the holiday edition. He had actually met an incredible woman on Penpals.buzz. He met her right here on Penpals.buzz. They called in and shared their success story and their love for each other. And Anthony has a follow-up for us. He's going to let us know how things went and what happened. After today's show, tomorrow, we have a therapist and a trauma specialist and a life coach. Her name's Jennifer Garcia. She's out of Florida. Highly renowned. Really knows this stuff. And she's going to talk about why these things happen the way they do. She's going to tell us about red flags to watch for with prison relationships and just help us understand what is really going on in this loving a prisoner pen pal world. Anthony's on the phone with us. And Anthony, you had called in. It's been about a year and a half. And at the time you were going by the name Patrick, just so we won't confuse people, but you've gotten away from Patrick and you're now officially Anthony Cloud. And it was a special episode that we had aired right before the holidays. It was you and a woman named Melissa, who was also on the phone. And Melissa had called shortly before we recorded that episode. And she said, you know, my husband would like to be removed from your site. How do we do that? And then a little bit later on, she emailed this incredible success story talking about how you guys are getting married and she's about to have your twins. And I want to play just a little clip of this. Is actually, this will be hard, kind of hard to hear. Maybe it's a promo that we made to promote that success story and that episode. And let's hopefully you can hear this.
This nurse from South Dakota.
My best friend of like 25 years. She's like, Melissa, what do you have to lose? You know, just message him, go for it.
Met Patrick, a prison inmate in Washington.
We just started opening up. She shared with me kind of her story.
They fell in love.
Pretty much since then, we've been on the phone nonstop.
It was almost like we were meant for each other.
Hear their inspirational love story on the Prison Pen Pal Podcast.
Penpal.buzz changed my life.
Available wherever you get your podcasts.
Man.
Yeah, I know. Tell us what happened, man. It's now a year and 4 months later. What happened with you guys?
I mean, to keep it simple, we're not together anymore. It feels like everything that I believed in and everything that I worked for, everything that I invested in, it was all a lie. And, you know, in a lot of ways, I'm still struggling to process it. I'm still struggling to hold it in the right context. I'm really processing, going through and processing a lot of the experiences that have led to this moment and led to where we are at now. This chasm in our relationship, this separation that I'm experiencing with somebody that I truly and deeply loved and cared about. Someone who I thought was different than anyone I had ever met. Someone that I could see myself building a life with outside of this place, not just in this place, but outside of this place. And to be honest with you, Steve, that's why it was so hard, is because, to give you a little bit of who I am and what I've been through, growing up, I was in the foster care system growing up. Mm-hmm. I've never met my biological parents, never met my biological family. And so one of the things is I've been in prison the last 10 years really working on myself and forming a new identity for myself and my dream, forming dreams and aspirations and becoming more. Is like one of the things that I've always wanted was my own family. And so that's one of the reasons that this is so hard, is because I thought that I really had that with this woman. With Melissa, I thought that I had a family. I thought I had a home. I thought I had someone that I could be safe with. I thought I had someone that I could be vulnerable with. Things that I've never been with anybody my whole life. You know, yeah. I grew up in the streets, 14 years old, homeless, you know, running the streets and finding acceptance with people who didn't have positive values and belief systems and You know, I was using drugs. I was committing robberies. I was hanging out with gang members. I was always trying to outdo everyone around me, going to extremes. Just and really at the heart of that, when I look back, it was acceptance. So for me, you know, Melissa had come into my life 2 years ago, and we had hit it off, had this what I thought was an amazing connection. It was spiritual. You know, we connected on so many different levels in so many different ways. And she traveled across the country to come visit me. And when we met for the first time in person, it was almost divine. It was, you know, talk about love at first sight. Like, the connection was there. There were people in the visiting room that thought, like, we were seeing each other for a couple of weeks. And they're like, man, you guys look like you guys have been together for years.
Yeah.
Just the way that our connection was and the dynamic was so natural. And on the other side of that, she had come to visit me, and we established this connection over, and it took the course of months. And then Melissa was there every single day. I pick up the phone, she was there. Like, we was writing letters to each other. Like, and it's hard to find someone who can ride for you.
She's like your ride or die, right? She's there all the time.
Yeah, I feel like I'm not alone.
From what you knew, Anthony, and now that we know what we do know, and we'll get into more of that here in a little bit, but now we don't know really what was true, what was true or what was a lie. But from what we thought we knew, Melissa was working as a nurse in South Dakota. She had this professional job. But I remember on our podcast back in 2024, she had mentioned that she was in the process of moving to Washington and buying a house in Washington so she could be close to you. And so she was, at least what she told us, she was going to give up, you know, that security and that career, and she was going to move to be with you in Washington. She also told us,
she was going to move out here.
And she told me directly, even before the interview, that she was pregnant with twins.
She said she got pregnant with my kids. She was taking fertility shots prior to it. We had talked about it. It's something that she said that she wanted. And so, through this whole time, she's convincing me that she's pregnant with my kids. And even when she was coming to visit, like, I was knowing, like, over the months, like, I seen some changes. Like, she was putting on the weight and stuff like that. So there were some physical signs. So I was like, okay, this is legit. This is legitimate. And then she was sending me pictures, right? I was getting pictures of the ultrasound thing, which I thought was, like, I thought that was legit too. But later I found out that, like, she was just sending me pictures off Google, which was crazy. So, but yeah, she had me convinced over the whole time I'm in the hole. And so, like, the whole time I'm believing it. Everything that I wanted, everything that I was believing in, a family, a home, a safe place, my ride or die, like, she really presented these things as if it was really that.
I understand how this can happen where you said it felt like love at first sight. And I hear a lot of people say it's like a whirlwind romance. Yeah. And she was my twin flame, or she was my, you know, my one and only, my soulmate. And you probably felt that how soon? Within a few weeks? How long do you think it took when you guys were talking on the phone?
It was bad. So the first time I called her, it took me a little bit to get a hold of her, but I remember very distinctly she had picked up the phone. She was driving home from work, and then she asked me to call her, like, later that night, and so I did. That's when we were having these deep and meaningful discussions on, you know, our beliefs in God, our spiritual views, on things that we saw going on in the world, and how we held it in such a similar context, and the dreams that we had, and a lot of our struggles and our trauma, like, those things were so self-similar. And then the next day, I remember, like it was amazing. And then the next day, she's like, look, what is it going to take for you to love me? What is it going to take for you to love me and really be all in this? And I told her, I said, like, look, this is, I'm going to be straight up with you. This is everything that I'm looking for. I'm not here to play games with you. I'm not here to play you. Like, I've been that in my life, and I don't want to have to do that. Like, I'm looking for one person. I'm looking for the one. The person that I can really build something authentic, genuine, in real ways.
And did you feel like
she said that, told me that was her.
Was she kind of everything you told her that you liked? Was it sort of like, oh, yeah, I agree. I like that, too. Did she have any differences with you? Because one of the things that's kind of common with this is, I think they call it mirroring, where somebody attaches to everything you like, they like. Did you feel that, like, man, this woman, she thinks exactly like I do. She has the same hobbies and interests and likes.
I mean, so looking back on it now, after doing my research and understanding maybe what I've been dealing with, like, I look at it now and I'm able to process it in that way. But before, I was like, I mean, this is exactly what I was praying for.
Yeah.
Like, before, I'm like, this is like you said, these ideologies that we process these things through naturally, because there's an aspect of us that, and maybe it's social conditioning, maybe it's something more, but that wants to believe in divine human relationships. But I don't think that at this point that there is just that one person. It's just about finding someone that is willing to make that work with you. And it is work. A long-term relationship is a lot of work.
People have an idea that it's just so easy. This, you know, you have this pen pal relationship and it's like a piece of cake, but it's a lot of work and it's hard, and it gets even harder once you do get out and you end up with the person. I want to go back to you and Melissa. And so she's lied to you about the kids, and she's lied about moving to Washington. But before you found out she was lying, was there a point where something maybe seemed off to you, but you ignored it? Was there ever a time where, like, things started going downhill?
Yeah, 100%. And so she ended up telling me that she had the babies or whatever, and she's sending me pictures of what I think at the time of my kids. And I'm even showing these to, like, pictures of my celly, and my celly's like, there's no way that kid is not yours. Uh-huh. And so, like, even though in my head I'm like, it's weird because I'm asking her to set up video visit, right? This is where it comes in, where there's this incongruence between what she's telling me and the things materializing in my life. I'm asking her to set up video visits. Let me have video visits with my kids.
Uh-huh.
And then she's talking about coming to see me. And every time she's talking about coming to visit me, something comes up. Something comes up. And this is, like, happening for probably, like, a month and a half. And so it's getting to the point where it's just, like, there's no way, if you really had my kids and I'm really the father of these kids you're telling me that I have, if you really love me on that level, there's no way that you would keep that from me. Such a beautiful and amazing gift. There's absolutely no way. So yeah, there's this incongruence between what she's telling me and the things that are actually manifesting. And so that's when in my head I'm like, man, it's just not adding up. And so it's crazy because the way that, so this is how I actually found out. So she tried to, say one of the times when she said she was up here or whatever, she was like, I was like, yeah, this is like, I told her straight up. I was like, look, I know that you're lying to me. Like, cut this shit, cut the fucking crap. Like, I know you're playing a sick ass game right now. Just be honest. She was like, I'm not lying. Yeah. And she ends up, she's like, look, to even prove it to you, she's like, here's my daughter's number. Call my daughter. She'll back my story. She'll substantiate it. She'll corroborate what I'm saying right now. So I get this number. I call the number. Her daughter picks up. And I'm like, look, you can't tell me that you don't know what it's like to be lied to, that you don't know what it's like for someone to play games with you. Like, you know how that feels. So if there's anything you need to tell me, I need you to tell me that, because this is going too far. Like, I want to know if your mom really has my kids, if that's a real thing. And her daughter broke and told me, it never happened. The picture she sent you was someone else's kid, I guess in their family. And, like, she broke down and told me everything, that it's a lie.
Man.
She said that her mom has, like, a history of this in past relationships. And I'm going to be honest, I was like, damn. Because there's a part of you that doesn't want to believe it. You know what I'm saying? Like, because you love someone so much, like, they say the most predictable of human responses is denial.
Yeah.
And so a part of me was in denial. I'm going to keep it real. I was like, man, because there's so many great things about this woman. And I want to make that explicitly clear. Like, I'm not bashing this woman. Melissa, like, I get that we all have trauma. I have things that I've done in our relationship that I wasn't proud of, that I look back and I'm like, you know what? As a man, I could have done that differently. I should have done that differently. And so I'm not saying that all of her negative contributions were the reason that we separated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got to take accountability for that. So this isn't just about bashing her and all of this, but this is to bring light and understanding, at least for me, the things that I personally had a problem with in our relationship, and the things that really at this point, it's too far. It's gone too far.
When you confronted Melissa finally with, okay, the daughter tells you the truth, and then how did that conversation go? I mean, I'm guessing at some point she had to finally admit to you, okay, I don't have your children.
She did. Like at that point, yeah, it was, I called her after that and I'm like, look, you don't have to lie no more. Your daughter told me everything. Like, she told me it's exact, like, it's not real, this and that. And I'm like, I just want to know, like, why you went to this extreme, like why you felt the need to do all of this. Mm-hmm. And she like broke down and she was crying and stuff and told me how sorry she was. And she told me that the reason that she felt like she had did it, she said she didn't want to let me down because she knew how much like having kids and stuff meant to me, having a family of my own meant to me. And she said in her mind, if she had told me the truth about that situation, she felt like I was just going to leave her.
And that almost makes sense when I'm hearing that. I'm hearing that from you now, and it almost makes sense. I'm hearing that, and I'm thinking, okay,
it makes sense.
She was doing it for me. She was lying because she wanted to make me feel better. So she's a good person. That's how my brain works.
Exactly. And so like in my head, I'm like, okay, like, because we all got trauma, and like, not to go, I'm not going to go into explicit detail about her trauma, but I'm like, listen, I can relate to abandonment issues and all of that. And I know she's been in some toxic relationships, broken relationships. She's has a history of that. So I'm like, okay, maybe you were legitimately scared of losing what we had. Maybe that was real. So for me, it was like, because like I love her, and you know, in my head, I processed it. I'm like, hey, you, like, I told her, I was like, you didn't have to lie to me about that. Like, and like, looking back on it, I'm like, those were some really extreme things to lie about. You know what I'm saying? And probably at that point, you know, I should have just completely cut her off.
Yeah.
I feel like that would have been the thing to do. But at the time, I didn't view it like that. You know what I'm saying? I viewed it differently, and maybe it's because I'm in prison. Maybe it's because I don't have family. Maybe it's because, you know, I was focusing on, a part of me didn't want to let go of all of the great things that the great impressions she had left on me.
No matter how bad things can go, you're always having those memories of the good times and the happy times.
Yeah.
And you want to hold on to those, and you want to hold on to the memory of who, yeah, and who you thought she was. At least maybe she's not the person you thought, but you still,
yes,
you want to hold on to that, because that's a lie. I mean, that's not just a lie, but that's a lie she had to carry on for over a year. I mean, the pregnancy and the you know, ultrasounds.
That's a long time.
A long time.
Yeah.
I heard about your story, and I've heard other people's stories, and I was so like happy, like, wow, this really works. People are having success. People are finding the love of their life. And we're getting letters almost every week, sometimes several times a week, you know, take me off the site. I found like my perfect angel or whatever. And, you know, we're going to get married. And I mean, I've gotten hundreds of these letters, but then ultimately after time, so many of them kind of have this sort of an ending. So now I'm wondering, you know, Anthony, like, is this partially my fault? Am I making things worse for people? Cause am I giving people this false hope that they think they found this amazing partner, and then they realize they've lied to me about almost everything. They've told me that they liked this and they liked that. And then later on they told me, oh, I just didn't want to hurt you. I wanted to impress you. And so, man, I want to come on this podcast, and oftentimes I'm promoting how great this is, and I think for some people it is, but now I'm starting to wonder, is this causing harm to people? Am I, you know what I mean? Did I get in the wrong job here? Did I have the wrong goals? And that's hard for me, man. That's hard for me, because this is powerful stuff, man. It's so powerful that even after Melissa told you all this, that, yeah, I've been lying. I don't really have your kids. You guys got back together again for a short time.
Yeah.
And you know what you think? Maybe you just need some therapy, or maybe you're just having a rough week.
Right.
Maybe you had a rough month.
People can change, right?
People can change. Yeah. Everyone, you know, it starts with the trauma, the childhood trauma, and it evolves into what I think, I can't diagnose it, but I feel like there's borderline personality disorder, there's narcissistic personality, and there's one called histrionic personality disorder. And they're all part of what they call these cluster B disorders. And Anthony, man, I'm convinced that a much larger percentage of people in the free world who are seeking out inmate pen pals have one or more of these personality disorders. I can't prove it. I'm just saying from the things I've heard in the years that I've been doing this and from my own personal experience. The question is, why would that be? And on our next episode we're releasing tomorrow, we're going to be actually talking in more depth with a trauma specialist out of Florida. She's going to join the Prison Pen Pal podcast and help us understand what's going on with these prison pen pal type relationships. Why do they seem to blossom so quickly? Why does it feel like this incredible whirlwind romance? And then why do so many of them have these unhappy endings? She'll also, she's going to tell us red flags to watch for. She's going to tell us things we can do to make it better. That's tomorrow on the show with Jennifer Garcia, trauma specialist. And we're excited to have her on the show to share her professional insights, so I'm not just sitting here hypothesizing to all of you. Anthony, you said in the little promo we played at the start of the show, penpals.buzz changed your life. And at the time, you said that in a good way. And, I mean, you weren't lying, I guess, but now it's a whole different meaning to that statement.
I don't think the meaning necessarily changes, Stephen, because you've still been a tremendous blessing. You've been a genuine friend. You've been there when I needed you, and really it's amazing to be able to relate and connect with someone who knows exactly what I'm going through. At the end of the day, it's not over. It's not over, and I know that there still are successful relationships out there. There are still great people, and you're one of them. And I know that as far as your platform, like, I know that there are still successful. You can't tell me that there aren't people that are using your platform or have used your platform and aren't living a successful reality right now because of what you've done. So I think it's so easy to personalize failure. It's easy to magnify the things that have damaged and hurt us. And
I think one thing that we should look at, too, and that everybody might want to look at, is that maybe the dream doesn't come to fruition. Maybe the fantasy of the future that you're going to have, maybe that isn't happening. Maybe at some point you realize that was a lie. That's not going to happen. But what we both still had was years of letters, messages, phone calls. And that's time in there where they say, live each day, live in the present. And in the present, when you're there in the prison and you're feeling down and you're like, God dang it, I'm in this fucking place. Again, you wake up, you're like, oh shit, I'm still here. We both had somebody who during that time was there for us and cared and sent pictures and sent videos and sent emails and kept us busy, because that gave me something to do, at night when everyone's watching the same movies like Roadhouse or whatever on TV or wrestling or Jerry Springer. I could sit there with my letter and totally escape the prison that I was in mentally and emotionally, sit there, write a long letter, read a long letter. That's worth something, even if you don't end up happily ever after. Somebody's in your life for a reason, and they may also leave your life for a reason, but at least during that time, we were both happy.
100%. And I wish with everything in me that things had turned out differently. I really do. I really wish that things just were what I thought that they were, and that things had manifested with Melissa the way that ultimately I believed in, and I still love her. You know what I'm saying? I don't hate her. Yeah. I don't love her. I forgive her. And I want to see her happy at the end of the day, because regardless, and maybe it's because I'm in prison and I know what it's like after doing 12 years in prison. I know what it's like to be defined by your worst moment every single day. I know what it's like.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's like I'm able to empathize with that. And just because she did these things to me, and yeah, it hurts, and yeah, it sucks, and yeah, I'm struggling to make sense of it, and I'm struggling to learn and integrate those lessons into who I am as a person so I can be more effective in my decisions when it comes to making healthy relationships moving forward. At the end of the day, it's like I don't want her to be defined by her worst moments or our worst moments in our relationship and our connection, because I know what that feels like.
Yeah. And we know, we know how your past and your childhood can contribute toward making some really bad decisions. And it's not always necessarily that it's not because we're evil or terrible people. And it's probably not with Melissa. No. I don't think she was intending to hurt you. I don't think she was intending this, but it's just at that point when you've dealt with all this from the past, it's kind of something happens in your brain and you do these things that you're probably not proud of, and maybe you don't even realize you're doing.
Us being in prison and doing time, we have a lot of time to really look at ourselves and to be introspective and to analyze the psychological environment of ourselves, if that makes sense. And so we can analyze our trauma. We can break down how it is behaviorally affecting us, and we can make intentional choices to alter our thought processes in a really deep way. Like, we can really break the habit of being who we were and form a new version of ourselves. And that's one of the greatest blessings about my incarceration and being in prison, is it's allowed me to literally strip down my consciousness and build myself into someone that I never thought that I could be prior to prison. One thing that stands out to me that you just said is, like, you know, maybe it was never Melissa's intention to do these things, but I think that, you know, and you're out there right now, like, is it a fast-paced world? Like, would you say that a lot of people out there really just don't have the time to really be as introspective as we have the opportunity to be in prison?
It's a crappy world right now. It's fast-paced. There's not much empathy. I'm seeing a lot of narcissistic behavior. It's all about me philosophy. And a lot of that's from social media. You know, they're teaching people to be selfish and put yourself first and don't think about others. And I think what's so great for guys that are, you know, inside, and even when I was, is you really do care, because you know how it feels to be forgotten or given up on or thought badly of. So if you hear someone else that has issues, you really, there's a lot more empathy and kindness. And that could be why so many of the women want to write to the inmates, because they finally feel heard. You know, I've heard that so many times. They're in a marriage on the streets and their husband doesn't listen to them. Their husband doesn't even know what color eyes they have, whatever it might be, but they can write to an inmate, an almost stranger, someone they hardly even know. And they finally feel this deep connection, that someone's finally caring.
I remember having, like, really deeper, opening the door to deeper discussions with Melissa. And I remember, like, she was like, man, I had never really thought about that before. You know, never really had time to really think about that. And so, I mean, that to me was highly indicative of just condition of her life and how fast paced it's been. And she never really had the time or been around the right people to really challenge her thought process or things that she'd been through or how her mind operates or the way that she sees things or why she sees things the way that she does or why she responds to certain experiences the way that she does. Like, to really intimately take the time to get to know herself. And to me, that's, like, one of the primary blessings of, don't get me wrong, like, this shit sucks.
Yeah, man.
Every day, like, this is not cool.
I don't want
anyone to go through this, but...
No, it sucks. And I think just if people can just keep in mind, incarcerated or not, like, if things feel like they're moving super fast, if you feel like it's this whirlwind, love at first sight thing, maybe just be careful, you know, take a step
slow
back.
Slow down.
Yeah, slow down. really get to know the person a little more before you're planning to get married. That's key. And I think, man, I admire you so much for all the things you're saying that you don't want to talk badly of Melissa. And cause that's such a trigger. Like the first thing I'd want to be is like, F that girl, you know, whoever, like, and so that's so
I
good of you.
Yeah. And like I said, it just comes from what I told you about. And, you know, if she ends up hearing this, you know, maybe she'll end up hearing this. But I just want you to know, Melissa, like, if you hear this, I'm always going to love you. I see you more than your worst moments in life, your mistakes, the failures in our relationship. And I genuinely apologize for my selfishness in certain times and the things that I struggled to deal with just within myself as a man that have contributed to some of the toxicity that we experienced. But I just need you to know that from the very beginning, since the day that I met you and all the way through, that my feelings for you were pure, authentic, genuine, and sincere. And I really wanted to be someone different in your life. And I just, no matter what happens or where you go in your life or what's next for you, I wish you nothing but the best, and I hope that you find true happiness.
So well said, man. And Anthony, man, I couldn't have said that better myself. I think even if I had written it down and rehearsed it, I couldn't. That just came out so eloquently and from the heart. I could tell you're sincere there.
Most definitely.
Anthony Cloud, everybody, number 377-4433. Hit him up on Securus. He's at the Washington Correction Center in Shelton, Washington. You can also write to him at P.O. Box 900, Shelton, Washington, 98584. Tomorrow on the Prison Pen Pal podcast, Jennifer Garcia, a trauma specialist, a therapist, and a life coach throughout the United States. She's going to be joining us to break some of this down, to make some sense out of the story we just heard. That's tomorrow on the podcast. Man, I need a Diet Coke. Are there any Diet Cokes around?
On a prison pen pal site, my heart found its way. Her name was Melissa, sweet like a song. A nurse with a smile said I'd never be wrong. She sent me her pictures, glowing with pride. Told me I was the father, twins on the way. Side by side in a world of gray stone, she brought the light, the dreams and shadows. Oh, they're hard to fight. Oh, Melissa, how could you lead me astray? 2 years of love, now I'm lost in the fray. A heart full of questions, where did we go? Disorder, or was it only a song? Big Steve on the line, he listened real close. Said love behind bars can be a beautiful ghost, but the truth can be twisted, tangled with pain. Sometimes it hides under smiles, drives you insane. She painted a picture of family and dreams, but the canvas was empty and ripped at the seams. Thought I meant my forever, but it slipped through my hands. This twilight fell slowly on our golden plans. Oh, Melissa, how could you lead me astray? 2 years of love, now I'm lost in the fray. A heart full of questions, where did we go wrong? Could it be a disorder? Was it only a song? Tomorrow I'll hear from a therapist why she'll shed some light on our tangled ties. Why do they start hot then cool like a flame, leaving behind echoes and a heart full of blame? Was I just a pawn in her twisted game, or was it the thrill of love fueling the flame? Now I'm sitting here wondering what's real, memories that haunt me, hard to conceal. 2 years of laughter, now ashes in the wind, thinking of all the dreams that will never begin. Melissa, my heart still beats for your song, but the truth is a melody that feels all wrong. Oh, Melissa, how could you lead me astray? 2 years of love, now I'm lost in the fray. A heart full of questions, where did we go wrong? Could it be a disorder, or was it only a song? So here I am.
just a man filled with scars, searching for answers beneath the stars. Love in a cell, oh, it's bittersweet, but tomorrow I'll rise, find my own beat.
It's lockdown time for Big Steve, but he'll be back soon with another edition of the PenPals.Buzz Prison Pen Pal Podcast. To be a guest on our show, email podcast@penpals.buzz.